I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the stories behind the story. Truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here. There are a little carve-out for those people willing to think independently. It's a rare bird indeed that can avoid and deconstruct the propaganda we get on a daily basis from political parties, from politicians, and from foreign policy people, and actually parse out the truth for ourselves. So that's what we do here. I appreciate you joining me if you're a regular listener. You know, have no idea how valuable you will be to the future of this country, because at some point, most people are going to realize how badly we've been lied to about so many different things just for the elites to succeed. We're starting to catch on to that, but there's still a lot of people who are just ready for the next propaganda. It's time to see through all this stuff. This is also especially true when it comes to our health and healthcare in the United States. And so every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I do my segment Hump Day Health. It's natural health news you can use. It's about taking control of your own health for a change rather than just waiting for a cure, waiting for that pill that will finally fix you. It's not coming. It's not coming. Not anytime soon. But we'll do that next hour. I've got a confession. May surprise some people. And we're going to take a look at the state of the pharmaceutical business in the United States. There's been some headlines out, some lawsuits, some other things. So we're going to take a look at those, and it'll kind of underscore why it is that I even do this show in the first place. If the pharmacological model in this country was working really well, I've got to tell you, I wouldn't feel the need to do this. If I believed that there was a pill out there that I could take that would get me into good shape and address my health concerns, then I got to tell you, I wouldn't have to do as much studying about food. I wouldn't have to be mindful of my diet and what I put in my mouth. I'm just as lazy as anybody else out there. I'd be happy if that existed. It does not exist, as even though we've been kind of led to believe that there is a pill for every ill. So we'll talk about that. I keep saying I'm going to get to this. What I have to do is I get topics for the health show, and I kind of rank them in what I believe is important, what's the big kind of bulk of the show. And I keep kind of tagging this at the end of it, and then I run out of time. But it's the big egg debate. I want to get into that. I'm a big egg fan, and for years and years and years, decades, we've been told, stay away from those high cholesterol eggs. So I've got a good clip from Dr. Eric Berg that kind of explains the egg and the studies that have led to the hysteria around eggs for the past several decades. So we'll do that too. I'm going to get into the news in just a second, and I am going to dovetail yesterday's show. We're going to talk a little bit about Iran, because I came to a real conclusion. It was almost an epiphany. I think that people are missing something, that a very, very big story that is going on right now within the Trump administration. So we're going to get to that in just a second. I've been kind of watching Tesla, and for a period of time. Now, I am a big cheerleader for the entrepreneur, for the disruptor, for things that make our lives better, for people that put their money up and take a big swing for the fences. And so I do not want to see Tesla fail. It's just the just the news around Tesla has not been good. I've talked about manufacturing facilities that were kind of facades. There was nothing going on inside of them, but they were used to show this ramp up of production. I talked about workers at Tesla that were asked to volunteer their time, unpaid time, to deliver cars. Sometimes they would have to drive a car 3 or 4 hours to deliver it and then get a cab or rent a car to get back to the Tesla all on their own dime. It's just, it seems very chaotic, but I've given out a lot of business ideas here on the show. I'm trying to make this a valuable show to people and to the right listener out there with the right motivation. I'm going to create millionaires if you just listen up and act on some of my ideas. I've said if the wall gets built, the southern wall gets built, then there's going to be a fortune to be made in catapults. So if you see the wall is finally manifesting itself, get into the catapult business and head south of the border and you'll make a fortune. So I'm always giving these good ideas, and I believe that there is going to be a big demand for car covers, you know, the fabric covers that go over Teslas. I'm always trying to spot these things as they come. Now myself, I haven't capitalized on any of them. I give these out freely because Tesla has become the carbecue. Have you seen these stories? It is every couple of days that I am seeing a Tesla has spontaneously combusted somewhere in a parking garage, in a parking lot somewhere. It's sitting there and, you know, they've got cameras on all these parking lots to monitor the safety of parking areas and watch people's cars. And you're just watching this film and all of a sudden a little puff of smoke out from underneath the bottom of this thing. And then the Tesla spontaneously explodes. So with that, I would imagine that Teslas are going to need a great deal of car covers because nobody's going to want to put one of these things into their garage while they sleep at night with their spouse and their children or anybody else that they care about under the same roof. I'm also going to probably do a show. I need to do some more research. You know, as we look at this green revolution and ridiculous Green New Deal that AOC has proposed and some of these things, you know, one of the things is to push us towards all electric and push us to all electric cars. Now, I believe there are some laws of physics that essentially say you cannot get more energy out of something than you put into it. Imagine that we all tomorrow, if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Antichrist, came through, became president of the United States, and by decree told us all internal combustion engines are gone and we're going all electric. How does she propose? I mean, my understanding is to generate electricity, we're not there for wind power, very inefficient. We're not there with solar power, equally inefficient, or it may be improving. But hydroelectric, probably, you know, they use the force of gravity on water to spin things to generate electricity, but we're not there. They can't transmit. The entire country can't be powered on these things. The green weenies are against a lot of nuclear power, which, again, I'm not an expert on, but seems to be one of the cleaners. The bottom line is you're going to burn a whole bunch of coal and natural gas and other carbon-based forms to generate the electricity to power these cars to make them to move. You've also got to do tremendous manufacturing to create all of the battery power that's involved in electric cars. What I'm trying to say is I need to kind of wrap my mind around this. I don't think there's a carbon savings even to electric cars. There's always a cost to those things, and if we do not have the ability to create energy out of some the sun or the wind or anything like that, we're going to be relying on fossil fuels to power electric plants to charge up these electric cars. And the more that I hear about these things, and there's people smarter than me that discuss these things, which I'd never considered, I always thought, well, you know, electric cars, I'm not against that. I think it certainly is interesting, but I think it's not a big gainer. So anyway, I'll probably do a little research on that and try to figure that out for myself. One thing I wanted to just mention is Tim Conway's death. That's a sad one. You know, we do lose some good ones. I haven't thought about Tim Conway in a long time, but as I was watching the news coverage last night, one of my memories of being a child was, I believe it was Saturday night, is when the Carol Burnett Show was on. And as a young child, I was a disciplined child, and I was told, and this seems to have gone by the wayside too, as I raised my children, they're now 18, I saw parents that really didn't have bedtimes for their kids. I would talk to parents and they would say, oh, my child was late for school again. And I'd say, oh, you know, what's going on with that? Or, Well, they stayed up till like 2 o'clock in the morning on their phone. Or it was just always mystifying to me. My children had bedtimes. I had a bedtime, but I always remember my parents would let me stay up from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Saturday nights. I would stay up just because I wanted to catch the Carol Burnett show, and most specifically, I wanted to see every Tim Conway sketch. He was just a genius in good, clean, slapstick comedy, and as I watched the clips last night, it brought a smile to my face again. I love shows where they do what I believe is called breaking, which is when they break out of character and start laughing. A lot of the best moments on Saturday Night Live over the years have been when they cracked each other up. Now, today it's chronically unfunny, and I haven't seen it probably now in 2 years, Saturday Night Live, that is. But Chris Farley was especially good at this. He was just such a genius and such a great physical comedian that there are a lot of skits where Chris Farley comes in and the whole cast just can't go on. They're laughing. And it's kind of frowned upon. To me, it's some of the funniest stuff. It's some of the things that make us laugh the most is to watch somebody be so funny that even the cast can't continue. Tim Conway was great at this. If you watch the Tim Conway and Harvey Korman working together, and Tim Conway's just was so laugh out loud funny with his physical movements and the characters that he played that Harvey Korman could never contain himself. It was just neat to see those things. He was somebody that brought a lot of joy to a lot of people in a nice, clean way. No big shots taken, no political stances, not invading us with anything heavy, just giving us time to just sit back and laugh. And he brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. So, honor to Tim Conway as he moves on to the next realm. The last thing I wanted to just say that was kind of odd, and this is completely off topic, but I was reading something last night. Did you know that the original Blade Runner was set in 2019? It's always interesting when you see these movies that after they gain some age, it's always what we fear, the society that we see just over the horizon. Whether it's Logan's Run, I can't remember what year Logan's Run was, but I think it might have already come and gone. We have a Space Odyssey 2001, all of these things. It's very interesting. We're not quite there yet. We're always kind of overestimating exactly where we will be. If you look at Blade Runner with the essentially flying cars and all these different things, but it's just another milestone has come and gone, and we're just not quite there yet. Of course, the dystopian world that Blade Runner was set in, I'm glad we're not there. I wouldn't want to raise my kids there. All right, when we come back, I'm telling you, I had kind of an epiphany yesterday reading a couple of stories, particularly about this Iran thing, and I've got a Trump clip that I think really kind of woke me up. It even takes me a while to get to things, but I pay close attention. There has been a coup. Everybody acknowledges there's been a coup. Attempt against an elected president and Donald Trump. It involved the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the tippy top of the national security apparatus, our supposed, using air quotes here, intelligence agencies were mobilized against an outsider coming into the White House. And we all readily admit this. What I'm going to tell you is I believe there is a coup happening right now that is not being covered and most people aren't paying attention to. And I think I'll prove it to you in just a second, so stay with me. This is The Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, I pride myself on this show bringing different topics, different points of view than 99% of conservative talk radio. To some people, that's interesting. To many people, they find it inconvenient. I do not talk about Mueller. I'm not going to talk about Don Jr. appearing in front of behind closed doors with the Senate Intelligence Committee because I don't care. Wake me up when there's a perp walk. When you see John Brennan, if anybody sees John Brennan in handcuffs being led to a black SUV, please call me and let me know. And I will come on the air and I will celebrate with you. But until that point, I'm bored with it. So I'm going to bring new stuff. So let me float something out here to you. There's a lot of saber rattling going on with Iran. If you've listened to this show, you know I'm pro-strong national defense. And I am virulently anti-wars, preemptive wars, invasions, coups, these things that the founding fathers warned us about. I still take to heart. Most conservatives listen to the new Republicans. People that have, we're not really fond of. They're up in Washington, D.C. We're not fans of them. I'm not speaking of Trump particularly, but just over the years, whether it was Bush or a Republican Congress or our congressman that comes and talks about rebuilding our military. They think, you know, the founding fathers told us that a huge standing army is in direct contrast with real freedom. But when Roger Wicker comes and says, oh, we're going to rebuild our military, everybody cheers. And we're bankrupting our country at $750 billion. And with Homeland Security and all the intelligence agencies, we're spending $1 trillion a year on national security, exactly what the founding fathers warned us about. Yet conservatives cheer these things because they somehow think, what do you think, we're making the troops rich? I admire the people that sign up to defend this country. And I want to stand in the gap and say, you don't get to take them halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand because John Bolton... he's got a little bee in his bonnet with a war he's been trying to start for 20 years. That's in no way, shape, or form conservative. I hate to break it to you because I know Fox News has sold you for 20 years on these wars. And you think Fox News is a conservative outlet, so it must be conservative to support war after war after war after war. It's not. Fox News is a giant corporation feeding you the same narratives that all the other big networks owned by the big corporations are feeding you. Now, I'll tell you something I think is going on. Now, I am interested, while I'm not interested in every twist and turn of the Mueller investigation and the Mueller report and the Steele dossier, everybody else covers that better than me. Why should I don't need to weigh in. You got 22 hours to hear that stuff. You want to hear me talk about it too? You want me to spend 2 hours talking about Maxine Waters? It's boring to me. So I'm going to float something completely different out there to you. I talked yesterday about all this stuff going on with Iran. Mike Pompeo is running around the world trying to line up European allies to be with us in this fight against Iran. You know what European allies said? That Iraq thing didn't turn out so good. You know, y'all don't have a great track record. And to be honest with you, we've been trading with Iran and we're kind of at peace with them. We're not going to participate. They're not down with this. As a matter of fact, in this strike group that's been sent to the Persian Gulf, the Spanish took one of their warships and said, we're heading home. Because they think that the mission has changed. It's gone from an exercise to a belligerent provocation. And the Spanish said, U-turn, and they headed back to Spain or wherever they're going. We're going to go at this one alone. Now, I put on my Facebook page a couple of days ago, what's the over-under on the trillions we'll spend in Bolton and Pompeo, the wall and the whale and the walrus? What's the over-under on the trillions we'll spend on this one? And how many of our kids have to go die for an enemy of Saudi Arabia and Israel that's never done anything to us? And then yesterday the headline came out, 120,000 troops. Now, this was reported by the New York Times. Trump was asked about it yesterday. And this was his response. It's hard to hear the reporter's question, but essentially the reporter is saying, hey, there's a report out there that you're going to send 120,000 troops to Iran. And this was Donald Trump's response.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely. But we have not planned for that. Hopefully we're not going to have to plan for that. And if we did that, we'd send a hell of a lot more troops than that. But I think it's just, where was that story, in the New York Times? Well, the New York Times is fake news.
Here was the epiphany that I had when I heard him say that, and I was reading other articles, and I'll get to a few of those in just a second. he doesn't know. Donald Trump probably does not know. Now, this may offend somebody. I'm not calling him an idiot. I am telling you right now, this coup that you saw around the 2016 election is real. The FBI, the DOJ, the NSA, the CIA all got together. They were trying to stop this outsider from coming in. And I think it was particularly because on the campaign trail, Donald Trump seemed very earnest about the fact he's going to bring our kids home from the Middle East. He's going to stop these foreign wars. He's going to stop these invasions. He's going to stop these coups. And I think that terrified the deep state because they're all about building an empire. They make a lot of money off that. And so they went after him. But what I'm telling you right now is I don't think Trump knows what John Bolton and Mike Pompeo are up to. I don't think they're telling him. Now, if anybody doesn't think that John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, the whale and the walrus, the two warmongering war whores that are in the Trump administration right now, have not been talking to the Pentagon about contingencies and what they could possibly do with Iran, you're crazy. Even a good foreign policy team at least explores these things. Now, what I saw Trump supporters do is say, oh, the lying New York Times. Yeah, that's one of the problems of these stories is that the media is so bad. I mean, it's really hard to understand if they say anything right. But what rings true to me about this is that even a good president, a peacetime president, if they thought there was a potential issue, a peacetime foreign policy, a good foreign policy team would say, well, gosh, you know, we're not going to start anything with Iran, but if anything happened, what would we have to do? They're always making these plans. They're always trying to figure out these numbers. So the fact that 120,000, and this was attributed to Patrick Shanahan, the acting defense secretary, soon to be the confirmed, and this is, again, Patrick Shanahan. I always want to make sure I give him all his due credit. He was a 30-year executive with Boeing before he came to the Defense Department and is in charge of defense contracts with his career company. It's a very good likely chance that they've discussed this 120,000 troop figure at some point. I don't think Trump knows. I think you have got Donald Trump. There is an active coup going on right now on Trump foreign policy. Now, you can say, I'm gonna kind of peel apart, because I do criticize Donald Trump on things, and I praise him for things. His foreign policy right now is a disaster. I hate to echo what, I can't remember who said this, Beto most recently, you've not tuned in to some left-wing leaning show. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a conservative, like the founding fathers, kind of a constitutionalist guy, if that's in favor anymore. I know a lot of people like to just wipe their butt with the Constitution when it suits their needs and that when their party's trashing the Constitution, but I take it kind of seriously. Donald Trump had a campaign promise of not getting us involved in these things. And I've noticed over the past several months that he's not been real vocal on Venezuela. Mike Pence has been the cheerleader for a Venezuelan coup. Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Marco Rubio, the classic cabal of warmongers that have gotten us into the messes we've already been in. They've been the ones that have been running the show on this. And Trump has said, I mean, he's made some comments, but really very few for a man that speaks a lot and certainly speaks his mind. He's really not said a whole lot about Iran, outside of some prepared speeches that were handed to him when he got to a podium where he said, and I believe the other day he said, if they do anything, it's going to be bad. Now, I'll get into some stories in just a second that I think bolster this point. There is a coup going on right now in the White House, a coup of foreign policy. You have got the warmongers serving the Defense Department and the expansionists and the oil companies and that stuff, undermining Donald Trump right now. I think he was caught off guard with that question about 120,000 troops. He didn't know it was in the New York Times. I think it had just come out a couple hours before. I don't fault him for that. But I think he was caught off guard with that. Now, he does say, well, if anything happened, we'd send a hell of a lot more than that. That's a little concerning to me, too, because if Trump doesn't know what's going on, Trump also was led the attacks on Syria following these gas attacks, which have been proven now to have not happened. They were false flags pulled off by ISIS or ISIS sympathizers who were fighting Assad. And Trump's foreign policy team came to him and said, Mr. President, it's time to act. Assad has gassed his own people. And he said, OK. And we launched 200 in two different incidences, 200 Tomahawk missiles at a cost of about $150 to $200 million to the U.S. taxpayer based on false flags. Trump is being undermined There is a foreign policy coup going on. And when I get back, I'll tell you these stories. One was about Russia yesterday. Lavrov and Mike Pompeo met. And I'll read you some of the quotes from Putin and from Lavrov that say, Donald Trump is trying to run a good foreign policy. Mike Pompeo is trying to sabotage it. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. All right, next hour we're going to take a break from all of this madness, talk about some natural health news you can use in my Hump Day Health segment, and then tomorrow I'm going to have Ron Morris from the Mississippi Libertarian Party come in. I like having him in. It's nice to have some reinforcements of some independent thinkers in the studio with me, and we'll probably continue with some of this Iran stuff, be interested to get his take on it. But I'm telling you, I believe there is an active hijacking of Donald Trump's foreign policy. The president can't know everything. And so he relies on advisors. And unfortunately, the biggest mistake Donald Trump has made since he's been in office has been to hire a couple of really, really bad advisors. Really bad. And if people were not in love with Trump the deity, that they would probably be willing to admit that. But everybody's so scared to say anything negative against every decision that Donald Trump makes. He's human. And the thing is that my position is that Donald Trump has great instincts on foreign policy. I actually praise his thinking on foreign policy because I listened to it during the campaign trail and it got me up off my butt to go vote for him. But he has brought in a couple of vipers in Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Gina Haspel at the CIA, who was raised under the tutelage of John Brennan. So here's, this has escalated too. Now, I talked yesterday about the 120,000 troops. Then Trump comes out and says, no, that's not being discussed. I think he doesn't know. I'm not saying he's stupid. I'm saying he's got snakes in his administration that are making plans that should be above their pay grade, but they have hijacked his foreign policy, and they will do what they want to do if Donald Trump does not act and either get rid of them or stop them now. This escalated yesterday. Or actually today, if you saw the reports, they've evacuated all non-essential personnel from Iraq, from the embassy, I believe in Baghdad and Erbil. This is not a good sign. Mike Pompeo is jumping around the globe, going to European partners, going into Iraq to ask the Iraqi government to make sure that they help protect our soldiers should anything break out with the Iranians. We're sending a naval strike group to the Persian Gulf right now. We've sent B-2 bombers last week to the region. These are not good signs. 1 week ago, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo warned of, quote, very specific threats coming from Iranian activity in Iraq during an impromptu visit to the country. These threats posed, quote, substantial risk for U.S. diplomatic outposts and servicemen stationed in the country, he told reporters at the time. He got this intelligence from one of the enemies of Iran, Israel, and their secret service, their CIA there, the Mossad. That's where this came from Netanyahu, who has been telling us since 1992 that Iran was just a few months or a couple of years away from a nuclear weapon. Think about that. He was saying that in 92. He said it in 94, 96, 99, 2001, 2003. They were always just a couple of months or just a couple of years away from a nuclear weapon. And now we're using their intelligence service to tell us the Iranians are about to do something. Now, here's what's interesting. The British deputy commander of the anti-ISIS coalition stated yesterday that there was no evidence of an increased threat from Iranian-backed groups in Iraq or Syria. the top British general in the U.S.-led coalition against ISIS, has said there is no increased threat from Iranian-backed forces in Iraq or Syria, directly contradicting U.S. assertions used to justify a military buildup in the region. Major General Christopher Gika, who is a deputy commander of Operation Inherent Resolve, the coalition conducting counter-terrorist operations against ISIS in Iraq and Syria, was repeatedly questioned by reporters about the threat from Shia militias in Syria and Iraq, cited by U.S. officials over the past week as justification for speeding up the deployment of an aircraft carrier strike group in the Gulf and for sending B-52 Stratofortress bombers and an anti-aircraft battery to the region. This is what this general in charge over there said. Quote, no, there's been no increased threat from Iranian-backed forces in Iraq and Syria. This is what Gika said, and it's G-H-I-K-A, said in a video link briefing from Baghdad to the Pentagon. Now, what happened after that? He was essentially censured. Our foreign policy establishment, led by the war whores, the whale and the walrus, came out and said that he's speaking out of turn. I mean, why would this guy know? He's actually the commander over there. No, we need to listen to Mike Pompeo and John Bolton. There is no increased activity. We witnessed yesterday the sabotage of Saudi tankers. I smell a rat there, too. Now, here I'm going to get into, I'll tell you what, I'll take a break, and then to finish up this segment, I'm going to read a couple things to you. Mike Pompeo also went to Moscow, and he met with the foreign minister, Lavrov. What is happening, again, to give Trump credit, I think Donald Trump, now that this Mueller stuff is out of the way, maybe it was politically impalatable for Donald Trump to reapproach Russia to try to get a better relationship with them while things were going on. MSNBC and Rachel Maddow would have lost their minds if he had a decent discussion with Putin. I don't think he needed a stack on sanctions to prove a point, but he did. But now that the Mueller report is out and there's no collusion out there, I believe Donald Trump's going back to his good instincts and he's saying, hey, Pompeo, get over there, talk to the Russians, let's sort this thing out, let's be friends. Mike Pompeo went all right, but he certainly didn't do what Trump probably wanted him to do. I'll show you that when I come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. While other shows out there are still after 2 years, reporting to you on the exposed coup against the incoming Trump administration and the Trump candidacy, you are hearing breaking news here where I'm telling you right now, I suspect there is a coup going on right now, right in front of our faces, and right underneath Donald Trump's nose. Now, the question I have is, why did Donald Trump put John Bolton as national security advisor and Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State? Something stinks there. John Bolton is 180 degrees away from what Donald Trump campaigned on. He's 180 degrees also away from what Donald Trump is still trying to do right now, because I think Trump has got good instincts on foreign policy stuff. He's being thwarted. There is a coup going on right now. They are undermining him. He didn't know about the 120,000 troops being discussed for Iran because they didn't tell him. Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Gina Haspel at the CIA, Elliot Abrams for Venezuela, Marco Rubio for Venezuela, Mike Pence for Venezuela and probably Iran, they're making plans without Trump. You think these people wouldn't stage a false flag under Trump's nose without him knowing it and then run to him and say, Mr. President, you've got to act now? These are people who have wanted these wars for decades. War with Iran, war with, or an overthrow with the Venezuelan government. You saw Donald Trump go with a good relationship with Kim Jong-un and a good strong start to peace talks, and then he brought these snakes into his administration, and you see what happened the last time they met. I've reported on it. John Bolton came in at the last minute as Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un were talking, and he said no, and he listed a whole bunch of more demands that he knew he would never get, and the talks were scuttled. Now, John Bolton did that. Trump's right on with North Korea. He could bring them into the 21st century and have probably a peaceful and prosperous country over there, but instead John Bolton doesn't want that because John Bolton doesn't serve Trump. He doesn't serve you and me. John Bolton serves the war machine. He scuttled those talks. Mike Pompeo was sent. Oh, here, I'm going to read this one thing real quick. This is about the Spanish ship that was going along with our strike force to the Persian Gulf. And they thought they were probably going to do some training, do some, you know, some coalition type stuff. Listen to what happened. Spain has ordered its military frigate, the Mendez Nunez, which has 215 sailors on board, out of a U.S. coalition naval group en route to the Persian Gulf, citing, listen to this quote, this should be chilling to people, quote, it will not enter into any other type of mission, unquote, in the Persian Gulf region, according to the Spanish Minister of Defense. See, they told the Spanish, hey, come on, we're going to do some training, we're going to do some, you know, war games, the kind of typical coalition, NATO-type stuff you're going to do. And then on the way over there, they went, hey, Nunez, we're going to go live with this thing. And they said, the hell we are. And they turned around and left. Here's Donald Trump with his good instincts as a reapproachment to Russia, just like he campaigned on when he said we should be friends with Russia. And for you leftists out there, you've got us at the cusp of the second Cold War, possibly World War III. Thank you very much for that, because you couldn't accept that Hillary Clinton is a thug that people hate. Instead, you pointed towards another nuclear-armed country and turned them into an enemy. Trump's trying to reapproach with Russia again after the end of the collusion thing. So he sent Pompeo over there. You could send my cat to Russia. And we can get a better outcome. I'm not being sarcastic. You could put my cat in a carrier. It is not like being in the carrier. It would howl the whole way over. But you could take it over there and let it out on a conference table, let Lavrov pet it, put it back in the cage, send it back here, and we'd have better relations with Russia than sending Mike Pompeo. Though both expressed hope for improved ties between Washington and Moscow, Reuters characterized it as a testy and impatient exchange. Visiting Russia for the first time as Secretary of State, Pompeo publicly clashed with Lavrov on issues from Ukraine to Venezuela. Because remember, we're boss of the world. After their meeting, both men said they had been far apart on many issues. And here comes the whale. I made clear to Foreign Minister Lavrov that interference in American elections is unacceptable. See, Pompeo is still playing the game. The Russians are our enemy. They interfered in our elections. You think it's only Rachel Maddow? No. No, Mike Pompeo and John Bolton are still towing this line to keep hostilities between the two of us. That interference in American elections is unacceptable. Quote, if the Russians were engaged in that in 2020, it would put our relationship in an even worse place than it has been, he said. I'd encourage them not to do that. We would not tolerate that. However, soon after the summit, Russian President Putin in public statements indicated his belief that, quote, see, here's where... If Trump was in charge of foreign policy, things would be much better. This is what Putin said, quote, Trump is in the mood to restore ties with Russia. That's right, Trump is. Bolton and Pompeo are not. He also indicated in his own desire to fully restore Russia-U.S. ties, according to the AP, and interestingly, also praised the quite objective Mueller report. Now listen, this is Putin again. Quote, as you know, just a few days ago, I had the pleasure of talking with the U.S. president on the phone. I got the impression that the U.S. president was inclined to reestablish Russian-American relations and contacts to resolve together the issues that are of mutual interest to us. And what did Mike Pompeo do? He went over there and had a testy exchange with Putin and came out citing all of the differences we have and all the problems we have with them in the Ukraine and Venezuela. This was kind of interesting, too. At the press conference they had, Lavrov says something pretty significant. He says Russia recently offered to publish info from a U.S.-Russia channel on cyberspace that he claims would address the allegations of Russian election meddling. Now, here's the punchline of that. He says the U.S. declined. See, we've talked about it a lot here on this show. The Russians didn't hack the DNC. You can't transmit data on a remote hack at the speeds that data was transmitted. And the Russians can show that. And so Mike Pompeo and these people don't want to find out the truth that the Russians didn't hack our elections. They want to keep that story going. So they said, no, we're good. We're just going to keep telling the American people this lie. Predictably, the Venezuela hawk Pompeo slammed Russia's interfering in the Latin American country's internal affairs, adding also to that list China, Cuba, and Iran. Quote, Maduro has brought nothing but misery to the Venezuelan people, Pompeo stated. We hope that Russia's support for Maduro will end. Lavrov, on the other hand, just think about this. We're talking about a former communist country that used to invade its neighbors and put them under communist rule. Now it's Russia. Now you've got Mike Pompeo talking about our right to go overthrow the government in Venezuela, our right to go overthrow the government in Ukraine, and Lavrov, the Russian, defended the right of the Venezuelans to choose their own president and refused to recognize U.S. declared interim president Juan Guaido. This is Lavrov, a Russian. He says, democracy cannot be done by force. The threats that we hear against the Maduro government, threats that come from the mouths of U.S. officials, this has nothing in common with democracy. We've got Russians that understand democracy better. Former Soviet Union guys understand democracy better than Mike Pompeo and John Bolton. I'm telling you, I'm not done with this. I am for today. I'm going to move on to something good and positive. But while everybody else is breathlessly reporting on the coup that took place in 2016 and for the last couple of years, and it is a story, it's true, it is. But there's one going on right now, and you are not going to see this on Fox News, and you're not going to see this or hear this on conservative shows, because most conservative hosts won't point out the fact that some of the people in the Trump administration are terrible, evil, warmongering whores. But I will. See you in a minute.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Sorry about that. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and it is Wednesday. So on Wednesdays, we take a little bit of a breather from politics and world events to focus on some good positivity. It's like a palate cleanser for the week and actual news that you can use should you decide to take this information and run with it on your own. This is my Hump Day Health segment. It is natural health news you can use, but I always tell you, I am not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not a therapist, not a nurse, not a surgeon. I ain't nothing. I am a guy who has dramatically improved his health over the last 15 years. As I've gotten older, I've gotten healthier. I'm in better shape. I actually just took a vacation, which I'm going to talk to in just a second, and I'm going to make an admission here. I took a vacation, and person I went with, I had taken a vacation with before. She also had some other pictures of me over the years. I appear, maybe it's vanity, I appear to be in better shape now than I was 15 years ago. So if you're looking to kind of fight the aging clock, I'm telling you, getting control of your nutrition is the key. They have not got an anti-aging pill yet. Now, they are going to come up with something. They're going to do some gene switching off of stuff. It's going to really aggravate me because I'm going to be 76 years old when they can turn off the aging gene, but that's all right. I've lived a good life. But nutrition is wildly important, and we talk about things here. So I'm not a doctor. Take this information. Do your own research. I talk about all kinds of conditions, all kinds of remedies on this show. I'm not prescribing anything. I'm not telling you it's right for you. But if you hear something of some interest, you can call me. I mean, yeah, you can call me here at the station. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you my show notes. You can also get the show on podcast if you want to share it with somebody who's suffering from some kind of a problem that you hear mentioned on this show. And then do your own research. Okay, do your own research. That's for you. All right, so here's my confession. I guess it's a confession. I don't know. I find it kind of funny. I went to the Bahamas last week, spent a week there. Now, this was a paid-for trip. I'm gonna prove to you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I am in no way, shape, or form a sellout. Now, I do a lot of political stuff on this show the other 9 hours a week that I have. And if you listen to the content of my political show, you will realize I am not getting any invitations to Republican Party fundraisers because I'm very harsh on both political parties on the show. I think they both deserve it. So I'm not jockeying for any perks, any recognition from any of the major parties. I am here to tell you what I believe to be the truth. And I think a lot of people are coming to that too. So I'm going to show you how I'm not a sellout on the health side either. I went to the Bahamas for 5 days on the dime of a pharmaceutical company. Now, the way that this happened was a longtime friend of mine is a pharmaceutical sales rep. And she won recognition with being one of her top producers and got this trip as a reward for her efforts for the industry. And she took me along, which we both kind of laughed about because she knows my stance. And to tell a dirty little secret, she's pretty on board with natural health stuff herself. I'm not going to mention the company because it's really kind of irrelevant. But we're going to talk about the pharmaceutical companies today. What was one thing that was kind of funny was we spent a lot of time. We had actually in excursions during this trip too, paid for by this pharmaceutical company. So we're on a bus. We're going through downtown Nassau and on our way to the port to get on a catamaran. And the tour guide was showing us things. And he said, "Look over there. There's that plant." It was called a Ceres plant, something like that. Anyway, what he said was, "See that plant over there?" He said, "That's what we use when we get the flu." And he listed off a bunch of other things, which I'm about to talk about too. This is a bus full of pharmaceutical company executives. And I don't know if this guy didn't realize it. He was just giving his usual spiel. I don't know what it was. This tour guide over the loudspeaker in this bus says, "Yeah, us Bahamians, we don't take any pills. We solve all of our problems through plants and the foods that we have here right on the island." You could have heard a pin drop on this bus with the exception of my very low snickering as I heard this. They use plant medicine there. Third world countries, it's interesting to me. And we're going to talk about the pharmaceutical companies here. And I've pointed out before, we're one of only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical companies to do direct-to-consumer advertising on television. And I'm not sure if print is allowed in other countries or not. I don't think it is. I think we are it's us in New Zealand. And these Bahamians, this kind of third world country, they've got this Ceres tea that they drink for things. Now, I'm going to mention this to you. Now, you can look this up because I found it interesting. I'd never heard of it before, and I'm a bit of a natural health nerd, as you can tell by listening to this show. I just ran across this because we got into a cab later. I couldn't remember the plant that this tour guide had given us, so I got into a cab to ask the cab driver there. This cab driver knew about this immediately. So obviously, this is what they do when they get the flu. What the bus driver said also, and the cab driver said, he said, "Yeah, if we get something like the flu, we drink this tea and it's gone the next day." Now, how many Z-Packs have you taken? How many, you know, how much cold and flu medications do we take here? It certainly isn't gone the next day, is it? We take the flu shot and they tell us, it'll help you get over it sooner. Instead of it being an 8-day flu, it'll only be a 5-day flu if you get the shot. The Jamaicans are going out, plucking a leaf off a plant, boiling it up, drinking it. The next day, they're back to business. Americans don't even know these things happen. It's called the Ceres. Ceres or Ceresee is C-E-R-A-S-E-E. Now, let me preface this by saying there's some things in this. Do your own research. I'm not telling anybody. They do have Ceresee tea. And so do your own research on this. But if you are pregnant, this is not for you. Okay? If you're pregnant or considering pregnant or not sure if you're pregnant, because there are properties in this that are not good for a developing fetus. I want to say that up front. But it was just interesting. So here's what this thing can do. It's got Saracen benefits and uses. Again, this is a plant. And all of the Jamaicans, I talked to three. Ultimately, we talked to another cab driver because I was curious. I talked to three of them. They immediately knew about this. This is apparently just an island-wide thing. And the bus driver says, we don't take pills here. Weight loss, diabetes. Probably one of the most significant uses of Saracen involves its application in diabetes treatment. Due to Saracen's hypoglycemic activity, studies all over the world were conducted for the plant for its use in diabetics, leading to the development of national supplements containing Mamordica Saracen for ailing patients. According to one 2013 review, there are abundant preclinical studies published supporting Saracen's hypoglycemic effects, benefiting patients with diabetes. I mean, acne, skin, cancer. A couple of these taxi drivers also talked about how they've got these natural cures for cancer down in the Bahamas. Now, I didn't dig into that. You always kind of wonder those things, but I absolutely do believe that nutritionally you can keep yourself cancer free. And if you get cancer, nutrition can be wildly helpful in combating it. You make your own decision whether or not you want to go the traditional route with chemo and radiation and stuff. But these Bahamians are like, oh yeah, we got these plants around here. Can be used as a stimulant, an antioxidant, as a detox, a cleanse. Now this was an interesting one. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody that listens to this show, but you can be used for clean urine to pass drug tests. So I bet you they've got this plant over in Jamaica for sure. Eczema, herpes, the flu, cold, hair growth, yeast infection, and liver detoxification. They go out and they pick a plant. These pharmaceutical industry people were not necessarily happy to hear that. But, you know, I'll say this about them. And the rest of the show, this is how I'm going to prove to you I'm not some kind of a sellout, okay? I'll be honest with you. I want this girl to win this award again next year, and I want her to call me and take me on this trip again with her company. Everybody there was very nice. People within her company were very nice. The Bahamians were certainly very nice. And the thing is about pharmaceutical reps, people within many parts of the pharmaceutical company. It's like everything else. You know, there are some good government workers. It's just our government's rotten at the top. The pharmaceutical industry, as I will explain to you in just a second, has got big issues of corruption and collusion, things like that. But these were good people, and they have bought into the model much like many good doctors have. I'm not anti-doctor. I know some wonderful doctors who love their patients and want to do nothing but help them. It's just I'm looking around at the results and saying, hey, maybe you incorporate a little nutritional stuff. Maybe we don't throw a pill at everybody that comes in with any complaint. Maybe we actually go to the source of the problem rather than just the symptom. But there's good doctors out there. They're just part of the system. It's what they've been taught. They haven't been exposed to nutrition. As crazy as that sounds. Same thing with pharmaceutical people. They were very good people. They've been sold on the benefits of pharmaceuticals and not educated in natural health. Now, there's a little disclaimer on that. The girl that I went with is. She does a lot of natural stuff for herself. I sat down at a big banquet, a big awards ceremony, next to another girl. We started talking. And she's also, I can't remember what she did, but she started doing her research on that. She had some health issues. She's a younger girl, early 30s. But she's tackling some of her health things through nutrition. So, you know, I wanted to come clean about this. I felt a little dirty to take a trip on the dime of a pharmaceutical company and then come and do my show. So I've exposed that to you. And to show you that it has not changed me, we're going to get into, and I was planning on doing this anyway. I think it's convenient and a little cleansing for me in this show that I'll do it today. We're going to get into what's going on in the world of the pharmaceutical companies right now, because this comes to the crux of this show. I'm trying to tell you that we have not a healthcare system. We have a sick care industry. For all the people who want to tell you we have the greatest healthcare on the planet, that's a platitude. It's just something you say. Now, if you're in an accident, if you need a surgery, I got to tell you, this is probably the best piece of real estate on the planet to be in. Surgeons are doing absolutely amazing things, and we can break ourselves physically, and we need to be repaired. And this is a great time. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great country to be in at that time. But for maintaining wellness day to day, feeling good, avoiding chronic conditions, we have got a disaster on our hands. And the pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money only when people are sick. So stay with me. We'll take a look at the pharmaceutical model that we got right now, and then you make your choice. You make your decisions. You decide if you want to take control of your own health or if you want to leave it in the hands of these megacorps. Be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Today's show really gets down to the kernel, the genesis of this show. The American people have been ensnared in a disease management system that is very, very profitable for a lot of people. But it's not serving you. And I'm going to show you some of the problems with that right now. The system that we have right now, while there are fantastic doctors and nurses and pharmaceutical sales reps out there, great people doing these things, there is no incentive to keeping people healthy. It was kind of interesting. I was at this banquet for this pharmaceutical company, and one of the things one of the leaders said up on stage was they were touting some new drugs and things like this. I'm a fish out of water in this place, but I was enjoying the steak and seafood, I will tell you. They said that their goal was eventually to just eradicate disease from the planet. If they just keep doing their research, they will cure all the diseases. Now, my first thought is, well, the pharmaceutical companies, to my knowledge, really don't cure anything, do they? Anybody taking one pill for something or a series of pills? Now, outside of, things like maybe antibiotics, but I don't see a lot of cures anywhere. Now, I've solved a lot of my problems. I think I've cured a lot of chronic conditions I had, but I did it through nutrition, letting my body heal itself. But the stated goal was, and it got a round of applause, we hope that we can live in a disease-free world one day, to which I thought, silently, of course, well, then what the hell are y'all going to do? Prosecutors, we're going to take a look right now at the model that we've got going on right now. Prosecutors for 44 U.S. states, this does include Mississippi, outlined Saturday why they filed a lawsuit accusing 20 drug firms of conspiring to inflate prices. Now, full disclosure, I looked at the list of companies being sued, and the company that took me to the Bahamas was not on this list. That makes me feel a little cleaner. The prosecutors alleged, after filing the suit in U.S. District Court in Connecticut Friday, Teva Pharmaceuticals USA orchestrated the scheme with 19 other drug firms to stifle competition for generic drugs and increase prices, sometimes by more than 1,000%. Teva Pharmaceutical Industries Limited denied the claims to Reuters and said it would fight the lawsuit. The big picture is the allegations concern treatments for health issues including cancer, diabetes, high cholesterol, epilepsy, and high blood pressure, according to Reuters. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong told AP the states, quote, have hard evidence that shows the generic drug industry perpetrated a multi-billion dollar fraud on the American people. Now, this is especially sad. We know about name brand drugs and how expensive they can be. But the generics were supposed to be that line of in the sand for particularly for Americans that are overburdened by medical costs and saying, well, when these things finally go off the generous patents that they're given, well, at least we have the generics. We can get the generics, right, and save a bunch of money. Well, pharmaceutical companies rallied around to make sure that that didn't happen. Quote, this is from this attorney general. We have emails, text messages, telephone records, and former company insiders that we believe will prove a multi-year conspiracy to fix prices and divide market share for huge numbers of generic drugs. Again, these drugs included everything from tablets and capsules to creams and ointments to treat conditions including diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, cancer, epilepsy, and more, they said. In some instances, the coordinated price increases were more than 1,000%, the lawsuit said. This is who we're trusting with our health care right now. This is who the doctors are looking to solve our problems. And I got to tell you, I don't feel like I'm off the bullseye here. in talking about this stuff. And this is, thank you to Brian, who alerted me to this on the Today Show the other day. Again, we're looking at the kind of the pharmacological model that we're operating under right now here in the United States.
Popular generic blood pressure medications on the market, recalled over and over, 45 times in less than a year. Certain batches of Valsartan, Losartan, and Irbesartan.
I was really shocked.
Last summer, Denise Schreck got a chilling letter from her pharmacy.
The impurity has been classified as a probable human carcinogen.
Her blood pressure medicine, the one she takes daily, was tainted with a chemical linked to cancer.
Formerly used in the production of rocket fuel.
Rocket fuel.
In my medicine.
She started looking into it and realized something most Americans may not know. 85% of the factories making raw ingredients for U.S. drugs are outside the country. Many in India and China, where production costs are lower.
Growing up, you know, we had the saying, you get what you pay for.
Masood Mohammed spent 3 years as an FDA investigator inspecting pharmaceutical facilities overseas.
You're essentially the cop of the pharmaceutical world.
He's now speaking out for the first time.
As we continue to push the price down, companies are forced to find creative ways to make money.
Which means what?
Not adhering to our laws and regulations.
So more than a year before the recalls, Mohammed flagged problems at the same factory in China that made Denise Schreck's medication.
You wrote in your audit that facilities and equipment are not maintained, anomalies in testing are not investigated, you found gaskets that were fraying, white particulates and residue on the equipment, all of that in a place that's making drugs intended for the U.S.
Correct.
What was your recommendation?
Official action, meaning FDA takes intervention.
And then what did the FDA do?
It was determined that official action was not required.
So you were overruled.
Correct.
But it wasn't just...
And that is your FDA, ladies and gentlemen. The FDA is captured. I don't know how many shows I have to do, both on the political side and the health side, to show you the revolving door. See, there's decisions like this. This guy, he's a good guy. Working for the FDA, he's going overseas, he's inspecting foreign plants, he's saying, man, these aren't up to snuff, this is looks pretty dangerous, these drugs are going back to, you know, my friends and family and other Americans right here, I'm going to sound an alarm. The problem is that the people at the FDA, at the top of the FDA that make these decisions are realizing that if they take any executive action on this and stop this, that it's going to cost these pharmaceutical companies money. And if they're the ones behind costing the pharmaceutical companies more money, do you think they're going to be able to parachute right out of the FDA and go straight into Big Pharma like they mostly do? No, it's going to kill their job prospects. They're making $89,000 a year at the FDA, but they're eyeing that $290,000 salary that is just waiting for them at the pharmaceutical companies if they play ball while they're at the FDA. Does that make sense? There's this watchdog that we've got. It's like all of these departments. At the very top of them, the people that are poised to make the money by going through this revolving door between these corporations and the regulators, they're not going to mess up their own futures by doing what's right. So if you think you're being guarded by these agencies, oh, in America, we've got watchdogs. No, you're wrong.
Is that plant? Take a look at his inspection report from this facility in India, also making drug ingredients that became part of the recall.
We were quite shocked to see that they were staying up all night shredding extensive amounts of documents right before our audit.
They were up all night shredding documents?
Correct. It means there's a systemic issue.
Mohammed says there are too few qualified FDA inspectors and too few inspections. It wasn't until a pharmaceutical company detected a probable carcinogen in one of its ingredients that the FDA began asking for recalls.
This is tragic, and it's deeply concerning that people were exposed to this. It shouldn't have happened.
Scott Gottlieb was FDA commissioner when the recalls began and says it is unlikely the contamination would have been found on a routine inspection.
If you didn't know to look for this, this would have been very hard to detect.
In a statement, the FDA says it is investigating the root causes of the contamination and that the overall cancer risk to individual patients is small. Little comfort for Denise Schreck.
I have a 13-year-old son who's worried about his mom, you know. He shouldn't have to worry about a probable carcinogen in your medication.
Motamed, who left the FDA in 2017, warns the problem is much bigger than just blood pressure pills.
After seeing this recall, I wonder to myself, what about all the other drugs that you haven't tested?
And not just these plants.
Correct. This is, from my perspective, this is only the tip of the iceberg.
There you go. That's your FDA at work. Again, one of the guys out in the field trying to do his job being stymied by the upper echelons of the same administration. And, you know, it's so sad to me when I listen to that. I hear the heartbreak in that mom's voice. She's been taking these medications with cancer-causing things in them. She's worried. She's scared. The problem that is just so aggravating to somebody like me is that there are natural treatments for high blood pressure. If you get your body back with what it needs, she's probably got a nutritional deficiency. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a therapist. I need Jordan Townsend in here to maybe tell us a little bit about what causes high blood pressure, is inflammation or whatever else it is. But you can do an internet search. She's got the World Wide Web at her fingertips to just say, hey, what are some things that you can try at first? And maybe a pharmaceutical was needed in her case. I don't know. But I know there are a lot of people out there taking control of their own health who do their own research and a couple of things, and they find out things like fish oil, a little bit of exercise, apple cider vinegar, some things that don't have cancer as a side effect are available to her to implement that very same day for pennies that might have controlled her blood pressure, but she instead was put on a medication that it's got a little chance it may cause her cancer. And this is why I do this show. Now, when I come back, I'm going to continue to talk about this because we've got the pharmaceutical model, right? How well is it doing just in general? We just heard from the FDA about these tainted drugs. What about the drugs that we've been taking for years and years? Number one, I think we can look around at health outcomes and say, don't seem to be doing real well. The American health is declining over the past several decades that we've really gone all in on this pharmaceutical model. But what about just properly administered drugs for conditions that patients come in for? There are some statistics here that should shock everybody. I don't know if they will or not. But again, it's why I do this show, so I'll do it when I come back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show. Hump Day Health segment. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a diversion from politics, current events, and we start looking at ways you can reclaim your own health through nutrition and avoiding toxic chemicals into your body. Let me tell you something. Your condition, things you struggle with, are not caused by a lack of chemicals. They're not caused by a lack of pharmaceuticals, but that is the model that we have decided to employ here in the United States, which is a pill for every ill. We are massively over-medicated. Now, I don't care whether it's vaccines or pharmaceuticals or some of the food that's on grocery store shelves. What people don't seem to understand, and particularly because we're so mass marketed to on pharmaceutical stuff, is that there's a risk every time you take something. We hear these disclaimers on the commercials, and we almost kind of laugh at them. Some of them are pretty ridiculous, and a lot of them include things like, I don't know, death. But because they're handed out like candy right now, because we're so over-medicated, it just feels normal. Well, my friends are taking a bunch of pharmaceuticals, so I can take a bunch of pharmaceuticals. I mean, these companies, we got the FDA, and you just heard, the FDA is not the watchdog you think it is. Few people know that prescription drugs have a 1 in 5 chance of causing serious reactions after they have been approved. That is why expert physicians recommend not taking any new drugs for at least 5 years unless patients have first tried better established options and have the need to do so. Now, what's a little interesting to that, I'll add, is that I was watching the news this morning and they've come out with another release that said, hey, let's take it easy on the baby aspirins. How many decades have people out there been taking baby aspirins to avoid, you know, heart problems? And this study today was something like, oh, the Journal of American Medical Association came out and said, huh, well, we're finding people have more brain bleeds. I believe that was the consequence of it. So even things that people have been doing for 5 years, they may find out 30 years later are a problem. And I'm telling you, there's nutritional ways you could have treated that instead of taking an aspirin every day, and you would not have increased your risk of a brain bleed. You just would have felt better and looked better along the way. Few know that systematic reviews of hospital charts found that even properly prescribed drugs, and this is aside from misprescribing or overdosing or self-prescribing, this is properly prescribed drugs cause about 1.9 million hospitalizations a year. Another 840,000 hospitalized patients are given drugs that cause serious adverse reactions for a total of 2.74 million serious adverse drug reactions. About 128,000 people a year die from drugs prescribed to them. This makes prescription drugs a major health risk, ranking fourth with stroke as a leading cause of death. The European Commission estimates that adverse reactions from prescription drugs cause 200,000 deaths a year. So together, about 328,000 patients in the U.S. and Europe die from prescription drugs each year. These are the properly administered, properly prescribed, properly used drugs. This is not overdose or misprescribed or taken for the wrong reasons. This is following the guidelines, 328,000 people die a year. 2.74 million people have serious adverse reactions. Now, Dr. Joel Wallach, I like some of his stuff. He makes just this great point. He said, if the airline industry was killing a couple of 100,000 people a year, we would start to really look at the planes and say, hold on a second. Something's going wrong with air travel. A little investigation need to be done. We need to ground some planes until we figure out why we're killing 200,000 people a year in our planes. But the drug industry just goes on and on. The FDA does not acknowledge these facts and instead gathers a small fraction of the cases. Perhaps this is the price of progress, this article says. For example, about 170 million Americans take a prescription drug and many benefit from the drug. For some, drugs save the life or keep them alive. About 80% of them are generic, that is to say drugs whose benefits and risk are better known. If we suppose that they all benefit, then 2.7 million severe reactions is only about 1.5%. Yet it's killing hundreds of thousands of people. This is a really long article, and I clipped it all. It's all important, but I don't want to go through all of it. Let me see. However, if you dig a little deeper, you find that these reported reactions only skim the surface of what's really going on. You see, drug side effects are not always recognized as such. Doctors often attribute them to other causes. People downplay them or do not report them altogether. And when you add in other medical errors, unnecessary procedures, and surgery-related mishaps, well, the modern healthcare system actually becomes the leading cause of death in the United States. Consider, for instance, that the recorded medical errors and deaths equates to 6 jumbo jets falling out of the sky every day for 365 days a year. This is the model that we have employed. And I'm giving you every week 1 hour of things that you can do to replace these things. Now, I am not telling anybody to stop any medications. I am not a doctor. But I am telling you, if you've got some conditions, there are things that you can do nutritionally where you don't expose yourself to these things. I have not done the research, but I've got to tell you, apple cider vinegar, I hate to keep repeating myself. I know it's boring, but I still find people that go, I've heard something about that. I'm like, yeah, go do an internet search for the health benefits of apple cider vinegar, and you'll find all these kinds of things from digestion to high blood pressure to headaches to detoxification to weight loss. You'll find these things. And this is something that our grandparents were telling us about. And we've decided to get rid of that and replace it with these big corporations with their shiny buildings and all of their pills. But there are things that you can do, and you can try these things. If our medical system would at least just try nutritional stuff first. Now, here's in defense of our doctors, let me say this. Most Americans are chronically lazy. We're so unmotivated because we want that pill. We want it. You mean to tell me I can't eat extreme flavored Doritos and a diet soda every afternoon? I'm not giving those up. Just give me that pill. I got a 1 in 5 chance of having an adverse reaction. I don't care. It's easier than giving up a diet soda and that bag of extreme flavored chips that I just can't do without. That's what we've become. And I know a lot of doctors who particularly, in I'm harsh on doctors that are treating diabetics, particularly type 2 diabetes, because it's a lifestyle disease largely. And I talk to doctors and I say, well, why don't y'all attack this nutritionally? People reverse type 2 diabetes every day by making changes to it. And to their credit, doctors say, we tell them they won't do it. They will not change their ways. And this is that learned helplessness, chronic laziness, just, I guess helplessness is the best way I can say it. We've become a nation of people that don't want to take charge of our own stuff. We're waiting for somebody else to solve our problems. We just cross our fingers long enough and paint enough stuff pink, maybe they'll cure cancer. Or we could just look for the causes and maybe get rid of the causes and reduce the cancer rate that way. Nah, that's too much work. Let's just throw money at the pharmaceutical companies. Eventually, they'll come up with a cure and we can go from there. In the meanwhile, we'll all cross our fingers and hope that our wives and our daughters, our best friends, don't get breast cancer. Meanwhile, there are studies out there right now that say women who have proper vitamin D levels have an 80, make sure I'm enunciating correctly, 80, that's an 80% less chance of getting breast cancer just by having proper vitamin D levels. Do you know what it takes to get proper vitamin D levels? Adding in a few good foods, taking a good vitamin D3 supplement, getting little doses of the sun, and you would reduce your chance of breast cancer by 80%. Somebody explain to me why that's not a billboard on every highway and it's not a plaque in every doctor's office. Because I know women live in fear of breast cancer. It's sad. And yet there are these studies out there that nobody's ever heard of. I've just now cited it for the 100th time because I think it's so important. You know what the downside is? Let's just say you got your vitamin D levels up and you still got breast cancer. Mike Madison led me astray. You know what the side effect of having proper vitamin D levels during that time up to when you got cancer is? Well, your immune system will be stronger. You'll be in a better mood. Now, you can take too much vitamin D, too. I'm telling you, do your own research. But do you know, am I making this point correctly? A bottle of good quality vitamin D3, and I'm not talking about the cheapest thing you can find on the big box discount store shelves, but getting a good quality D3 supplement is less than $10 a month to reduce your chance of getting breast cancer by 80%. Improving your mood, and go look, do an internet search. I'm kind of riffing here now because it's making me a little angry that the helplessness we have. Go do an internet search. Health benefits of proper vitamin D levels. It's things like mood. So instead of getting, you know, instead of our medical system saying, hey, and it is widely known that we are chronically vitamin D deficient. Instead of our medical system saying, hey, you know, we are creatures of the sun. We used to live outside. We're these human animals, and our bodies actually produce vitamin D, which is good for our immune system and things. We've found out everybody's chronically vitamin D. Let's start getting everybody's vitamin D levels where they should be, and this would keep them healthier. They don't do that, do they? Instead, what we do is we allow vitamin D levels to drop. You're familiar with when people go through these long winters, and they have this sad seasonal affective disorder where people get into bad moods. They get depressed. Well, vitamin D levels are suppressed during those times, right? You're not out in the sun if you're not supplementing. So instead of getting our vitamin D levels checked, reducing our women's chances of getting breast cancer by 80% and boosting our moods, instead we just cross our fingers, hope we don't get breast cancer, and the worry and the lack of vitamin D does such a toll on our emotions that we end up on an antidepressant, which has its whole new rack of side effects. That's the American medical system right now. Does nobody see this? When I come back, I'm going to do the egg debate, I guess. I could just rail on about this stuff over and over again. I'll let you listen to Dr. Eric Berg. He'll let you know about eggs. People are still wondering, are eggs good or bad? I mean, mainstream media leads us astray in every single area. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment here on the Mike Madison Show, Hump Day Health Edition, every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. If you missed it, if you want to catch past ones, you can go and find my podcast on the WYAB.com website. It'll take you to my podcast page or subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. This is Dr. Eric Berg. He's all over YouTube, and I like his videos. Number one, he's a smart guy. Number two, he does short, succinct little videos on many, many different topics. This one is 4 minutes long. I'm going to let the whole thing run. I'm so sick of the egg debate. I eat two raw eggs every single day. Not advising you to do that. I know everyone's scared to death of a raw egg. I've been doing this for 15 years and feel fantastic. But anyway, my family has always bucked the trend on eggs. My dad used to always laugh. He ate an egg every single morning. And even my mom would say, oh, this is going to kill your cholesterol. He's been healthy as a horse for 87 years. Anyway, this is Dr. Eric Berg talking about the great egg debate.
Sorry to tell you guys this. I don't like to give you bad news, but eggs have just been found out to cause heart disease. A new study, 30,000 people. There was at least an association with higher risk of dying from consuming too many eggs.
Stay with him.
So if you're adding 300 milligrams of additional cholesterol every single day, that's going to increase your risk from cardiovascular disease by 17% and an 18% increased risk of dying. It's pretty scary. I'm being very sarcastic.
There we go.
I pretty much have to do one of these videos every single week, don't I? First of all, the diet data was another questionnaire. So I just want to give you one of the questions, okay?
Here's another problem he's going to highlight real quick. I want to let this run, but studies, you really have to kind of dig down into studies to understand exactly how they come to conclusions, and also understand that many different industries do their own studies and present them to you. Pharmaceutical companies do their own studies on their own drugs. They'll do 20 studies. Four of them will be okay. Three of them will be great. And 12 of them will be a disaster. And so they don't do the, don't say anything about the 12. They just focus on the ones that were either okay or good. I mean, this is what's, so we've got to do our own research on this stuff.
For the past 12 months, how often in your lunch did you consume deli style ham or light or low fat or fat free meats? Almost never or never. About 1/4 of the time, about 1/2 the time, about 3/4 of the time, almost always. Okay, so the list went on and on and on and on, right? First of all, who's going to remember all the things that they ate? And how do you know if they're true, right? So you have that. So the data was collected during one single visit. It didn't look at patterns over a period of time. It was a one-shot deal. And they're going to determine this data. And surprise, the study was partially funded by the American Heart Association. All right, so I have a few questions for you. Did you know that the body makes cholesterol? Okay, you did. Okay. Did you realize that the body makes 3,000 milligrams per day? Maybe not, right? That would be equivalent to consuming 14 eggs every single day. And they're telling you that eating 300 milligrams is going to increase your risk for heart disease. It's not true. Okay. In fact, I have a couple studies here. We'll show you that. Here's one in eggs, serum cholesterol, and coronary heart disease. And I'll put links down below. It is concluded that within the range of egg intake of this population, differences in egg consumption were unrelated to blood cholesterol levels or to coronary heart disease incidence. Here's another one. Dietary cholesterol from eggs increased plasma HDL. Okay. Here's another one. Dietary cholesterol from eggs increased the ratio of total cholesterol to high-density lipoprotein cholesterol in humans. Okay, this is a meta-analysis. So HDL is considered good cholesterol, right?
Okay, once again, I have short shrifted the egg debate, and I'm running out of time, and I can't let Dr. Berg do it. I think I'll have to play him again. I'm fascinated by the egg debate. When he gets into these things, go look at the nutritional powerhouse that an egg can be. And again, make your own decisions. Talk to your doctor if you still believe in the great cholesterol fear, then do your own thing. But eggs are full of a bunch of healthy stuff. And it's always been funny to me that it's terrible to eat egg, but it's fine to eat a fully grown chicken. Isn't the building blocks of a fully grown chicken found in an egg? See ya.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.